Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, I can feel He's made me whole. His love for me, Him in my soul.
Praise the Lord. I don't know what happened there. The song continues to play. It overlapped one another. I've never had that happen before, but we're going to go ahead with the broadcast. I don't know how to stop the song. I'm real sorry about that, but praise the Lord anyhow. This is the Macedonian Call around the globe, and this is the day that the Lord has made.
Oh my.
I don't know how to stop the song. I'm real sorry about that. But praise the Lord anyhow. This is the Macedonian Call around the globe, and this is the day that the Lord has made.
Oh my.
I don't know how to stop the song. Brother Yearwood, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear all kinds of stuff in the back.
I don't understand. Can you hear all that?
Yeah, I hear every bit of it.
Brother Yearwood, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
I think I'm going to have to completely go out and... I'm going to have to probably hang up and dial back in. If all the callers would do the same, maybe this would stop.
Okay, Sister Green.
Praise the Lord. This is Macedonian call around the globe. Can you hear me, Brother Yearwood?
Yeah, I hear you real good.
Praise God. I don't know what happened there, but it was a whole bunch of, uh-oh.
New Vic State will severe.
Woo, this is our 51st episode, and it's doing it again. Everything that I say, it's repeating me. And we're just going to ignore it, and hopefully, do you hear feedback, Brother Yearwood?
Not now, I don't.
Okay, I turned my speakers way down. What's happening, everything that I say, it's repeating me again. And then, so we're just going ahead with the broadcast, and, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made. I've said that probably 3 times, and we will be glad, rejoice, and be glad in it. Praise God. And we have many prayer requests here tonight, and this is, like I said, the 51st episode of the Macedonian Call. Next week will be 1 year that we've been doing the broadcast, and I just want to give God all the glory for it. We have a lot of prayer requests. Marie Center says, my lost children, pray for them. Josh Moore says, pray for his nephew that's in the hospital. His kidneys are overworking and causing him to urinate blood. Please remember him. Danielle Davison says, remember her half-brother and friend Kathy and her dad, and remember herself. Rebecca Miller says she wants prayer for direction, health, and lost loved ones. Kim Turner says continue to pray for changes in her family, and please pray for her sister. She isn't saved and facing some physical elements, believing God will get a hold of her and turn it all around. Thank you always for praying for us. Lodima Stickleather says, please pray for her husband, John. Sister Gladys Dittmer says, pray for her daughter-in-law, Gloria. She needs a physical touch. And also pray for her son and daughter. Richard Deem says pray for his wife. Dad's shoulder had surgery November the 4th, and it's freezing up and in a lot of pain. Sister Gladys has urgent prayer request. Nikki Dolan, a child of a prayer warrior who needs prayer for her brain. Something went wrong today. She's in the hospital. We'll remember all these. And Johnny Grigsby says, pray for the lost that they find Jesus. Penny Bain says, pray for her daughter, Crystal. Brother Tim Hall, he says, pray for him, please, and also continue for praying for baby Logan. And also Sister Bonnie Burke says, pray for her husband and granddaughter, and herself for strength, and she says, thank you. Praise God. And we're going to have Rachel at this time. If you want to be part of this broadcast, we want you to call in at 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. And we're going to have Rachel come in and read her scripture. And don't forget, we will definitely pray over these prayer requests before the broadcast ends, because many more, I'm sure, will be coming in.
Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees council and said, "What do we for this man doeth many miracles."
Praise God. So if you're just now tuning in tonight, our subject tonight is on miracles, and we want to thank Rachel for that. She's a blessing. She's been faithful to be with us this whole year reading her scriptures. I remember in the beginning of this, she would shy away from it, and now she comes to us saying, "Where's my scripture? Where's my scripture?" So I thank God for that. And she's even sang a few times on here with us. So we're going to have, we've got Brother Yearwood. We've also got 661, come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
Hi, this is Sister Gladys from Moorhead, Kentucky.
Praise God, Sister Gladys. Glad to have you on here. And 770, come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
Oh, this is Brother John. I'm from Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we'll get you guys in turn. We're going to have Brother Yearwood. We want you to go ahead, brother, and obey the Lord there.
Just go ahead and let Brother John or Sister Gladys one go ahead there. Either one of them are Sister Green. We're just listening right
okay.
now.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead and let Brother John, Sister Green.
Okay, Pastor John, we're all rooting for you, brother.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, I praise the Lord again for the opportunity to speak the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are speaking of miracles tonight, and amen, as any of you said, I remember the first programs and how, as you said, Sister Rachel came, and, you know, this is a miracle. And tonight, God began to deal with me as I was asking, and, man, I appreciate Brother Green. He had called me a couple of times, and I know he wasn't able to, he left a voicemail. I appreciate that, and I talked to Brother Yearwood, and, you know, we have so many miracles, amen, that the Lord has done. But God began to deal with me out of the beginning of miracles in John chapter 2, and, amen, and the Bible says in John chapter 2 that, in verse 1, it says, "In the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there." You know, the third day represents a lot of things. We have on the third day, amen, he talked about, amen, that in the book of Exodus, how that when God the Father, amen, had come to the children of Israel, on the third day, amen, he told them that to make themselves ready, amen, on the first and second day, because on the third day the Lord would come, amen, unto the mountain, and amen, and just the very presence of God the Father himself, amen, with thunderings and lightnings, amen. And I'm reminded of the third day, amen, that as Jesus Christ arose and the great miracle of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the great miracle is, amen, that it represented in John chapter 11 of the resurrection of Lazarus, amen, the brother of Mary and Martha, amen, there in Bethany. And we find, amen, that here was a marriage, amen. Here was a uniting. Here was a bringing together. And as they would come, it was a time of joy. Tonight, church, is a time of joy, amen, to receive the miracles and be a part of the miracle working of God. You know, this broadcast is a miracle, amen, reaching out, amen, to multitudes and multitudes of people, amen, the different broadcasts that we have the privilege to be on. And here it was, amen, the mother of Jesus was there. And the Bible says in verse 2, "And both Jesus was called and the disciples to the marriage," amen. Jesus had been called, amen, and his followers had been called. They had been called to a place. They had been called to a union. And you need to know tonight, church, that you've been called to a union. You've been called to a marriage. And that marriage, amen, is the uniting of the Lord Jesus Christ with his bride, amen. And hallelujah. And as the Bible says that Jesus had been called there, and amen, hallelujah. And he says in verse 3, "And when they had one wine, the mother of Jesus sends unto him, they have no wine." The very time they begin to become in want. You know, David said, amen, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But here, in the, even before they actually the feast, amen, and really got going, amen, they had to come to a desire, amen, for wine, amen. This was a wine, amen, of the glory. This was not a hallelujah, amen. This was a time of celebration. Tonight, church, is the time of celebrating the very miracles, amen, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, amen, but at the very time of the celebration, the very time of the wine that would be poured and they would celebrate is the very time they had went out. There are those underneath the sound of my voice that it should be a time of celebration, but it's become a time of want. But I want you to know tonight that the God that done the miracles in the very beginning is still a God of miracles tonight. And if you need a miracle, amen, and in the midst of your celebration, amen, in the midst of your circumstances, and the very thing that you have need of or want of, you know, the Bible teaches us in Philippians 4:19 that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Tonight, if you need a miracle, God will supply that miracle for you.
Yeah.
Tonight, if you have a need, amen, that there is a supply, amen, of miracles, amen, still coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, Jesus saying to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. In other words, what he was telling his mother, mother, is not my time and the season, amen, amen, right now, hallelujah. But his mother had a faith, and she turned into the servants. The Bible says in verse 5, his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. You know, tonight, if we'll be a doer of the word, hallelujah, whatever the word of the Lord says, amen, it's time for us to do it. You'll receive your miracle. If you want to receive the miraculous signs, the Simeons, from heaven tonight, whatever God tells you to do, it's time for you to do it. If you want to receive a miracle in the midst of your feast, it's time to do what the word of God says, hallelujah, for you to receive your miracle. And the Bible says, hallelujah, and there was sent there six water pots of stones after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. In other words, these water pots were not just little water pots. These were massive water pots that had been set there, amen, after the purification of the Jews. You need to know that in the midst of your celebration tonight, in the midst of your feast, there are some water pots, amen, for your purification. There's some word of God. He said, for you are washed, for you are cleansed. He said, you are cleaned by the words of spoken to you. You need, in John chapter 15, tonight there's a purification process tonight. That's the word of God. That's the Lord God himself. Amen. Because tonight, amen, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. We all, amen, have come. Hallelujah. Short of that glory, short of the feast, short of coming up and having no wine, having no substance, no thing to celebrate with. But I'm glad tonight that in the midst of the celebration, a miracle of Christ has come to you tonight. When you've been without and have nothing, God will provide. Amen. Amen. And as those water pots were there at the purification, amen, these were empty vessels at that time. Amen. And you know what? Amen. Here's what God wants to do to you. Maybe tonight you feel empty. Maybe tonight you feel without. Maybe tonight it should be a vessel that is filled with the new wine. You have to understand, in the Middle East, amen, hallelujah, amen, they would not pour wine. They would not feel, amen, the wine without the new wineskins. In other words, I serve a God tonight that doesn't only put in the new wine, which is representative of the Spirit, amen, but the first thing he does, he makes the wineskin. He makes the vessel new, amen, and hallelujah, when it comes in there, when God's word, when you do God's word, it'll make the vessel new. It'll make the wineskin new. Amen. And even as the day of Pentecost, when it's talking about Acts chapter 2, the Bible says it filled all the house where they were sitting. They were gathered together in an upper room. There was 120 of them. And the Bible says there came a sound of the rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, you know what? They were there. They were water pots waiting for the purification. Amen. After the man of the purification. But this was the purification of God. The Bible says, he that is of a pure heart shall see God. They were waiting in that upper room, just as Brother and Sister Green were speaking about it, and Sister Gladys and Brother, you were talking about. They were up there praying. Amen. Hallelujah. Waiting for the promise of the Father. Waiting for the miracle of the Father to come down on the inside of them. Amen. They had witnessed, they had lived with Jesus. But they were ready to experience. Oh, tonight are you ready to experience a miracle, a move of the miracle power of God? And the Bible says it filled all the house where they were sitting, and they spoke. And the Spirit of God gave them, it set on them as cloven tongues of fire, the Bible says. And you need to know tonight that as you're an empty vessel, God's really ready to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, with his miraculous power from heaven, from upon high. He's ready to fill you up. Just as these servants were told in verse 7, he said, Jesus saying to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. They've done just as his mother had said, they filled the water up. Oh, just like it says in Acts chapter 2, it filled all the house where they were sitting. Tonight, church, God will fill your house with miracles. God will fill your house with miraculous power. God will fill your house, that empty vessel, but first of all, he changes the vessel. I'm going to tell you tonight that, and that on that 50th day, on the Feast of Pentecost, that was another feast. It was a feast of miracles. Oh, you need to know tonight that every feast of Jesus Christ is a miracle. It's an opportunity for a miracle. It's an opportunity for a feast of miracles. Amen. At the time when he fed the 5,000, fed the 4,000, oh, amen, there was miracle after miracle. But you know what? They didn't follow him because of the miracles. They followed him because they were filled. Tonight, amen, whether you're following him because God's going to give you an opportunity to be filled with the Spirit of God. God's going to give you an opportunity to be filled with his presence. God's going to give you an opportunity to be filled with a new wine. But the good thing about it is he's going to make you a new wine bottle. Amen. Because the Bible says they didn't pour out, amen, the new wine in the old bottle, lest it burst and come forth. God gives you an opportunity because he doesn't want not one ounce of his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be burst out. But he makes the bottle new. He makes the vessel new. And he makes, amen, a new wine that's fresh off the vine. He said, I am the true vine in John chapter 15, and ye are the branches. And I'm talking about a true vine tonight and a true wine and a new wine. He told them, amen, that, amen, as the men come all over from all over the country, all over the world, they were there at the Feast of Pentecost, amen. All the ones from Medes and Mesopotamia, all over there, they come from all over the world there for the feast, amen. And amen, but they heard something. And what they heard was these men and women that were filled with the Holy Ghost beginning to speak and glorify God in their language, knowing that these men were of Galilee, knowing that these men, hallelujah, just like this marriage, amen, there was a marriage coming up, there was a prenuptial going on, amen. God was getting his bride ready, amen. This was just the beginning of the outpouring of his Spirit for in the latter days when the marriage supper of the Lamb would come and he would perform a greater miracle, that he would bring himself as a groom, amen. This time he was as a guest, but there's going to be a marriage, amen, hallelujah, that he is the bridegroom, amen, and he's going to say the very best for last, just like in this marriage. Verse 8, he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear to the governor of the feast, and they bear it. Amen. Church, tonight, it's time for us to draw out now the miracles of Christ. It's time for us to draw out now the new wine that God has created. It's time for us, amen, to bring out the creative miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible teaches us, is there anything new under the sun? Amen. No, there's nothing new under the sun, but God is creating. He said, I make all things new, and God wants to make all things new. Underneath the sound of my voice, there are water pots being ready to be filled with the miraculous power of God tonight. You've been ready to be filled up to the brim and to draw out of the ruler. Amen. Because when you get filled up with the wine of God, God, when you get filled up with the Word of God, when you get filled up with the things, it's time for you to draw out now. In other words, it's time for you to be poured out. Amen. That's what he said in Acts chapter 2. This is that with the prophet Joel, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I'm telling you, on that day, all those vessels, amen, were filled to the brim with the Spirit of God. And tonight, you have that same opportunity. Oh, the marriage feast and the celebration is still going on. But the bridegroom is Jesus Christ. And the bride is you, the church of the living God. Amen. And the Bible said, draw now to the cover of the feast, and they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, he didn't know where it came from. Tonight, church, you might not know where the miracles come from. You might not know where the Spirit comes from. When Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ in John chapter 3, he knew not. He said, he said, as the wind listeth and where it goes, you know not. In other words, he told Nicodemus, he said, are you a ruler in Israel? Do you not know this, that you must be born again? Nicodemus, being of the Sanhedrin, he wanted to be faithful. What did he say? Oh, we know that you're a man of God, because no man can do the miracles, amen, that you do, except God be with you. Nicodemus had a revelation that God was with this one called Jesus, but he didn't know how much. Oh, hallelujah, he's a miracle, because he was God manifested in the flesh, preached unto the Gentiles, received unto glory. Hallelujah, when you've seen him, you've seen the Father. And when Jesus Christ had come, amen, the working miracle, amen. But the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. He called the bridegroom. He didn't know where it came from. He just knew it was fine. He just knew that it was miraculous. He just knew it was good. Oh, you need to know tonight that every good and perfect gift, James chapter 1, every good and perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights, which is no variableness or shadow turning. And he said unto every man at the beginning, does set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. You know, that's what they didn't even have the good wine until Jesus made it. Hallelujah. He didn't have any good wine. There are many things. You just thought you had the goodness. You just thought they had the greatness. But you need to know tonight, by the Word of God, when God tells them to fill it up, when God tells them to draw it out, when God tells you to fill it up, you haven't had the goodness until you've had it from Jesus tonight, church. Amen. You just thought you had a celebration. You just thought you had a marriage. But it's yet to come. Hallelujah. He's looking for you. He's looking for you. He's looking for the miracle. And he said the beginning of miracles did Jesus, the King of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. His disciples believed on him. They had come. They had been invited. They had followed him. Oh, do you believe on it tonight? Here was the beginning of miracles. You know, the governor of the feast told the bride, he called the bridegroom. He said, you saved the very best for last. The Bible says in John chapter 19, John chapter 19, here in John chapter 19 and verse 25, tells the story of one called Jesus who was hanging on the cross. He was at Golgotha. He was at Calvary. Hallelujah. And at Calvary, did he not say in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, take, drink of the cup, amen, for it is my blood of the New Testament, hallelujah, that was representative of the new wine. When they sit there on that last supper, amen, while he was here, he had a miracle there. Here, he's getting ready for the last appearance, amen, amen, in his physical manifestation. The Bible teaches us that the Son of Man was to be lifted up. In other words, the humanity of Christ was to be hung on a cross, and the flesh of Christ would be utterly destroyed. That was the way the enemy got to you. But when it's hung on a cross, the Bible says by the prophet Isaiah that his visage was so marred. In other words, his form, his comeliness, his actual physical form was so marred. In other words, he was beaten so bad they did not recognize him. They were stunned, the Bible says. Hallelujah. And here he was, beaten, whipped, whipped and beaten and bruised for our iniquities and wounded for our transgressions, all these things coming upon him, a crown of thorns upon his head, bleeding coming forth. Amen. The life's blood Amen. We have the witness, the Bible says in 1 John, amen, that came forth, amen, the water and the blood and the spirit. He said, on these three bear witness on the earth. When these three things come from the cross, the centurion at the foot of the cross said, truly this was the Son of God. Hallelujah. And the Bible says this, starting in verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, this is talking about John. John is speaking of himself. He saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. She come to him at the marriage supper of Cana and said, they have no wine. He said, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. But on the last time that she would see her son, the one that she turned and said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. He said, woman, behold thy son. Here was a vessel. Here was a water that had been turned to wine. And here at the death of the cross, as the vessel and the blood was being poured out, at the death of Jesus, while Jesus was dying, and this was his hour, this was his season, he turned to his disciple and he said, woman, that's what he was doing. He wasn't telling her to behold him. He was telling her by his death, by his pouring out the wine, by his saving, amen, the very best for last, that at the death of Jesus, John would become her son. And that, he said, then saith he to the disciple, he turned to John and said, behold thy mother. At the death of Jesus, this wine would make Mary the mother by the spiritual realm. In other words, they said, Jesus, thy mother is without. He said, he that doeth the will of my Father, the same is my mother and my brother and my sister. This vessel who had been poured out, this vessel who had poured out the new wine at his death, one of the greatest miracles, amen, beginning of the marriage, this was the beginning of recorded miracles. But here was a miracle, because he now, tonight, no one else poured in the wine. Who poured it out? It was the Lord Jesus Christ himself, pouring out himself into the vessels. As he poured out himself tonight, he said, I've come not to be ministered to, but to minister. I've come not to be served, but to serve. Tonight, it's Jesus bearing up the water pots. It's Jesus bearing up the vessels. It's Jesus bearing, and you know what? He didn't have to tell someone else to pour it out, because he has obeyed even unto his Father. At the time of Gethsemane, as he was pouring out and praying as great drops of blood, earnestly, he said, Lord, take this cup from me, but nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. He had come for this very purpose, for this very hour to be poured out. He had saved the very best for last, church. He said, I am the beginning, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. He said, it is finished. And the Bible says, and from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. He received her. I'm talking about a wine tonight that will receive you, amen, amen, that will bring you home. I'm talking about a wine tonight. I'm talking about a blood tonight. I'm talking about a new wine. I'm talking about a miracle tonight that will make you a family bringing in together, all coming together, waiting for the expectation. And I'm talking about tonight. Who's the server? His name is Jesus. Who's serving up miracles? It's Jesus. Who's he drawing it out to? The governor of the feast. Who's the governor of the feast? You are tonight, church. He's brought you the very best, and he saved it for the last. When all the other world has offered you and got you drunk, they've brought out the very least, but he saved the very best for the end. Tonight, he's saving the very best of his miracles for the very end when he comes. Not only what he's doing now, but it's present because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But your eye has not seen, your ears not heard, neither is in your heart of man the things that God has prepared for the other man. But yea, it's the spirit searching, yea, the deep things, all those the deep things of the miracles tonight. Oh, this is just the beginning, church. But you know what? He saved the very best for last, and you're drawn out. Will you drink of the wine? Will you drink of the miracles? Will you partake in of the miracles tonight? Because there's another feast. This was the feast. This was the feast of the Passover lamb. Oh, amen. And when the blood's been applied, he'll not pass over you. He's coming for you, church. It's miracle time tonight. Will you receive him? Because you are the governor of the feast, and he's poured out himself unto you. And will you drink and taste of the very miracle of God? Go ahead, Brother and Sister Green.
Praise the Lord. That was good word, Pastor John, and enjoyed every bit of it. We had it on mute because we're here coughing, so we appreciate y'all's prayers. And if you want to be part of this broadcast, it's 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. If you want to reach us by email, it is heisrisen38@aol.com. It's heisrisen38@aol.com. If you want to be part of this, share a testimony or prayer request, you're more than welcome to call in and share that or request prayer. Debbie Brandon, she said, please pray for our safe travels as we drive to Virginia in a revival and then back home on Sunday. And Charles Proctor says, remember his niece Cassidy Proctor. she hurt her back and has upper respiratory infection. Please put her on in your prayers. And he says, thank you. So we're getting some new people that's been asking for prayer. And, you know, I just thank the Lord that this is reaching out and people have confidence in us to pray. And I sure appreciate you all's prayers for me and Brother Green. And I thank God for this broadcast. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today is the day, like Pastor John was saying, today God is pouring out his oil, his wine in you. There was 6 water pots, I believe there was, and 6 is the letter of man. And you are the water pot tonight. And God's pouring his oil and his wine in you. Praise God. Once you receive it, all you got to do is ask for repentance and receive what Jesus did on the cross, and he will pour his spirit in you. And as Pastor John was telling you, this is that the prophet Joel spoke about. That was good preaching, Pastor John. Praise the Lord. Now, Sister Gladys, why don't you come in there, sis, and give what the Lord has given you and just obey the Lord, sis.
I first want to praise God. And Sister Green, I'd like to pray for you before I even get started. I just feel led to do that. Get other brothers on here. Just help me pray for Brother and Sister Green. I feel led of the Lord that God can reach down right now and touch their lungs and heal whatever's going wrong. Heavenly Father, I pray, Father God, we lift our brother and our sister into your throne room this night. Father God, move upon their bodies, Lord Jesus. Let your healing virtue flow from the tops of their heads to the bottom of their feet, Father God. You paid a price on Calvary, Father God. We couldn't pay, Father God, a debt too high that we couldn't pay. But, Father God, I pray that you'd move in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. Let this coffin stop, Father God. Take away this illness right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Please plead the blood over their health, Father God. Right name, Father God. Move, Father God. Right name. Before we even finish this broadcast, we give you the glory, Father. Before we get started, we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. You know, some of my scriptures, Sister Green, may be a little different, but I first want to start out praising God, because I've got much to praise God about. There's some scripture, I didn't get a chance to look it up, but Pastor prophesied over me one time. He said, God was saying to me, where are your boastings? You know, many times we fail to boast on God, and I've got much to boast about. You know, there was a time in my life in 2004, between 2004 and 2007, Sister Green, that I went through 9 brain surgeries in and around the brain. And God had to move upon my body. There was a staph infection that set in on my bone. And the Lord had to allow them, you know, they knock on the door and they say, well, your bone's infected. We're going to have to take it out. But I had to believe in the God that I serve. My mother was frantic. She's not saved. But I believe by faith she will be. She prays, but people don't understand there's more to it than praying. But I know whenever I was in that hospital bed, I lay there and I said, Lord, you know what all this is. I may not understand, God, but I trust you. And there's some situations we get in life that's all we can do and that's all we can pray. You know, recently I was listening to a preacher pray that if we pray in tongues, that's an unknown language to the devil. He hates it because our mind thinks one thing. When we get saved, our soul doesn't get saved. Our spirit man does. And I thank God that he can teach us how to pray. The Holy Ghost will teach us. We don't necessarily need a man to preach us, teach us, but it's good to sit under good teaching, and it's good to sit under the Word of God. And that's where we'll get our lifting up of our spirit, or edification of the Word of God. He said to study to show yourself approved. And I know this night, if I read the Word, he'll give me prophecy, and he'll give me answers to the prayers that I need answers to. And I thank him. And during that time, it was rough on my husband. But when you're a married couple, you go into things together. These young couples today, I'm not trying to criticize, they need God in their life. I look at my son and my daughter-in-law and say, you won't have a marriage if you don't have God in the middle of it. Me and my husband, I had a mouth and he had a temper. And if we would have had our way, it would have went out the window. But I praise God that I serve a God that saved our marriage. Come June, we'll be married for 30 years. But more than that, God is the healer. He's the miracle-working God. And as I lay on that hospital bed and didn't know next thing that they were going to say, and some of them would come in the room, and I've said it before on this broadcast, one would come through the room, and she'd say, well, let's knock on wood that it worked. Well, I don't believe in knocking on wood. I don't believe in knocking on wood. I serve a God that sent his son to die on Calvary for me. And I thank him for every shed blood that he shed for me. Because I know in the midnight hour when there's no doctors around, yes, he gives them wisdom and knowledge, but it's Jesus' power, his blood that was shed on Calvary to save my soul. And it's his blood that he shed for miracle working power today. And I thank him for those things. I thank him that whenever there was a time when I went from 150-some pounds and I went to 99 pounds, there's many in the church that didn't think I'd survive. But I'm standing today. I'm a walking, talking miracle. And it's only by his hand, not man's hand. And it's not my doing either. It's God's. And I give him glory and honor for that. I just wanted to throw that testimony in. And we went today to the hospital with my grandbaby that I watch daily. And I'm believing for a good report, a God report, that when they get those test results, murmur that was there that they heard a week or two ago is already gone, that they won't live wrong today. I thank you and magnify him. And I'm going to read a little bit in Matthew 15:21-28. I pray I don't take too much time, Sister Green, but I just glorify the Lord. I've got so much to thank God for. And I do boast on him every chance I get. He said in Matthew 15:21-28, he said, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she had truth, Lord, that the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, woman, great is thy faith, be she thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Even though sometimes we cry out to the Lord, and we don't feel like he's answering prayers of us, I know he is. We can pray more than one. Some people say, well, don't keep aggravating the Lord. I believe you should keep coming into the throne room. He said, come boldly into the throne room of God. And when I take a prayer request like the sister, about Sister Green and Brother Green, I go boldly into the throne room. That's what his Word of God says to do. We're to go boldly before his throne room and ask for our prayers. And this woman, I believe, even though the disciples felt like she was aggravating, the Lord said, that she had great faith. And that's the kind of faith I want to have, is great faith, not just of a little measure. And I want to go on down. My scripture is a little different than Brother John's. He covered a lot of good things about the cross and the wine. You know, we can't put new wine into old bottles. And that's the problem that we find sometimes in the churches today. There's people that want to stay with tradition. Well, tradition is fine, but you have to let the holy covenant of God that he made with Abraham. And when Jesus came into the picture, Jesus, he broke the problem in the tabernacle. I'm not explaining it very well, but he broke the veil so that the Gentiles and the Jews could come in together. He acknowledges as friends, he said, in the Word of God. And that's a miracle all by itself. I thank him for that. That he doesn't just include the Gentiles and the Jews. He doesn't say, I'm just going to accept the Jews. He accepted the Gentiles too. And that all by itself, to me, is a miracle all by itself. I'm going to read a little bit in Matthew 17, 14 through 21. And different people have different ideas of what's going on in this scripture. But when I read it, I'll explain a little bit. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now be it this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. When Jesus talks about this in the scriptures, I believe it was an epileptic boy. You know, I've had seizures in my past, but God has taken care of them. That was what those surgeries were back about in 2004 and 2007. You can go to man, you can go to doctors, and yes, they may have wisdom and knowledge, but they couldn't pinpoint the problem. But God allowed a man to come into my life that could pinpoint exactly where my brain misfired, and they were able to remove those parts of my brain. And in this, that it's talking about a lunatic, you have to watch sometimes how you preach. You know, I've heard a man say, well, God really knew how to take care of that epileptic boy, but it hurt my feelings when I heard that preached one time. And I actually wrote to the preacher that was preaching. You know, we do have to watch how we preach and not hurt people's feelings, but let people know who the true healer is. I pray I'm making sense to you. But Jesus said if we just have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, if you have spice rack, you can go to a mustard seed bottle, and that mustard seed is so tiny. And I keep one in my purse that's in a little piece of tape. But it reminds me, all I have to have is just that small grain of faith, and God will deliver our problems. You know, we get frustrated sometimes at circumstances in our life, but God said nothing's impossible to him. You know, we look at things and think, God, how can you do that? How can you change my circumstance? But he's promised beyond measure. He said he'd bless us abundantly above what we could ask or think. And many of us can think many things. But when the scripture says that howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting, I believe when the Lord sends us out on a fast, whether it be 3 days, 4 days, or 21 days, you know, God is telling us that there's some things in our life, whether it be a family member that got drug addiction, whether alcoholic, there's some kinds of fasting that you've got to include in prayers, along with our prayers, so that God can deliver our family members, deliver those that we love. And he moves upon those. Those are different types of miracles. But I know that God can set free and deliver today. And those in my mind and spirit are miracles all by themselves. You know, an addict can't set himself free. He's got to give it over to God and say, God, I'm helpless in this situation. I don't know what else to do. God, touch my addiction, touch my problem, and help me get through this. And God said that he sent Jesus to the cross, and that he had paid those prices for what we have need of. I'm not going to take up any more time, Sister Green, because it's getting late, and I want to hear Brother Green, and I want to hear Brother Yearwood also. But the one thing that I do want to say is how Hannah comes to mind, and then I'm going to turn it back to you, Sister Green, how she grieved in her spirit for a child, and she went before the Lord, and she cried out to the Lord, and she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed, but she made a vow to God. And when we make a vow, the Word of God says it's better not to make a vow than to break one. If I make a vow to God, I need to keep it. When she made that vow, that she had a child, and God honored that, that she had a spirit, that she wanted that child so desperately, he honored that prayer, and he blessed her with the child. And in turn, she gave that child back up to the temple, gave the child to Eli to raise in the temple. And she only was able to see that son every so often. But my point is, God honors her prayers, and God honors our prayers too if we're faithful and sincere. You can't say halfway prayers and say, well, Lord, do it. We have to say, God, I know you're more than able. And when we get in situations, whether it's financial, physical, spiritual, or emotional, and we give it to the Lord, he will move upon our request. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Sister Joanne. And I thank you and appreciate you for allowing me to speak on your broadcast.
We appreciate you, Sister Gladys, and you always take, sis, all the time that you need. We appreciate every caller, every time you call in, and we cannot ever do this alone, and we thank God that you joined in here with us. And thank you so much for praying for me, and I know God's going to heal me completely, and I know it's an attack of the old enemy. Every time we go to do the broadcast, something comes up. And if it's not sickness, it's one of the children trying to call for urgent, something's going on. And I want to, you know, while we're talking about the broadcast here, I want to acknowledge some countries that have been listening in, and I thank God for them. The Trinidad, Turkey, Haiti, Uganda, Poland, France, the UK, and we just want you to know that we are praying for you all here in the United States, and that you pray for us. Praise the Lord, and thank you so much for listening in. And any other country out there that's not showing up on my in my status, we thank God that you took your time to listen, and to listen to this gospel being preached. And we just love you all. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, we encourage you to try him. It's easy. All you have to do is repent of your sins and ask the Lord to show you and guide you how to live a good Christian life. And at this time, we're going to go ahead. If you want to be part of this broadcast, we want you to call in at 347-989-8862. And I also don't want to forget all the ones that are listening here in the United States. We love you all just as well. We thank God for you. And many, many towns. I can't even begin to list, to even tell them all. But there are all the states across the United States. Some are in the same state, but different cities. But I thank God for you, and we just praise the Lord, and we pray for you every prayer request. Not only do we pray for you on the radio here, but we also pray, lift you up in prayer all week long. Praise God. And we're going to come to you. I'm going to try to play this here song, and hopefully we're not going to have any disturbances with my computer.
And to witness him.
Praise God. We just love that song by the Greens, Praise the Lord. And we're not going to take any more time. We want to hear Brother Yearwood. And Brother Yearwood, you come in and obey God. And if you have any prayer requests, and Sister Gladys will have you come back in too, sis, and turn in some prayer requests as well if you like. And Brother Yearwood, you go ahead and obey the Lord, you and Sister Betty.
Okay, we appreciate that. We got some prayer requests here that we want to make known here.
I want everybody to remember the Hicks family. They lost both of their parents within 2 months. So remember that family. They got Brother Bob buried yesterday, so just remember all of them. Catherine, she got saved a couple months back, and the devil's attacked her in her mind, so remember her. She's got a little baby that has all kinds of things wrong with him, so just remember him, that God will continue to heal his little body. God's already touched him on several things, so I know that he can finish what he started. So remember Fred Brennan, Keith Green, and Edith Hampton, and a lady named Pat. They all have cancer.
Great. So just remember them requests. So we've got a few scriptures here we're going to read. I'm going to let Betty read for me. We're going to start out in Exodus, the 6th chapter. So bear with us and pray for us there.
Y'all pray for me as I read. I've got this old cold, so I'm going to try to do the best I can. Exodus 6, 5 through 7, and I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be a God. I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians.
Praise the Lord. You know, now God was telling them there, he said, I shall be your God. You know, I tell you what, now God is still our God today. He's still bringing us out. You know, as he brought them out of the land there, praise God, he's still bringing us out today. You know, the people that's out here that's in the world and doing the things of the world, it's a miracle when anybody gets saved. It's a miracle when God come into anybody's life. You know, the devil has got a lot of people blinded, but praise
Amen.
God, God is still stealing them right out of his hands. You know, praise God, if we just only trust God and let him be God. You know, these people out there today, they don't really look toward God. They want to say that they are, but they're not serving the God like that the real true worshipers. You know, there's many out there today is just lukewarm, but praise God, God said in his word over there in Revelation, he said, I'd rather you'd be cold or hot than lukewarm. He said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. But praise God, I'm glad tonight that God's still a God. He's still reaching out. He's still calling the people out. He's still, you know, the Bible says in one passage of Scripture over there, it said, be as wise as a serpent, be as harmless as a dove. And he's
yes.
telling us, a man that is wise, that will steal the sinner out of the devil's hands. And I want to be one of the wise men tonight. I want to tell the world, praise God, that Jesus died on the cross, that
Amen.
They could have this life and have it more abundantly. I praise God tonight for what he's doing. Let's look into Matthew 9 and verse 6. It says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man have power on earth to forgive sin. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. You know, praise God, that is a miracle right there that the Lord done. He told him, he said, just arise and take up thy bed. And that's what God is telling us tonight. Praise God, we're speaking about miracles. We're speaking about the miracles that God is still doing today. As Brother John said there a while ago, I believe, he said if we will only take the word and only believe, you know, what we said. You know, we can take this word, and I tell you what, if we will only take this word of God, and if we will only realize the words that we speak, they're His. He spoke them first, and He has the power on this earth tonight to forgive sin, and He has power on this earth tonight to tell you to take up your bed and walk. Praise God, I'm glad to know tonight that we can let God be God. We can let God speak to us, and we can go with God, and God will go with us. I'm so thankful tonight. Let's look into 1 Kings in verse Kings 18 and 37. It says, hear ye, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. You know, praise God. God is wanting people to turn their heart back to Him again. You know, except we do that, we're going to be lost. I tell you what, America needs to turn their back, turn their heart back to God again.
Yes,
they need
amen.
To go back to the old foundation war that we were founded upon, the Word of God. And God's Word will take care of us. Let's look into verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. You know, praise God. I believe it was Elijah. Praise God was there. He was there with a bunch of people. And that they, in one passion of this, I believe it says that he told them, he said, you just go ahead. You go ahead and repair your altar, and you do whatever you want to do. And you call out on your God, and the God that answers by fire, let Him be God. And I tell you what, tonight, my friend, we need to realize, praise God, that the miracle that God did there, He went and took, and He had the fire. When Elijah, praise God, let's look here in verse 39, see what it tells us. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. You know, praise God. I tell you what, whenever Elijah called up on God, and God answered by fire, and the water, the fire come down, and it burned up the altar and the sacrifices, and it took and licked up the dust there around. You know, praise God, Elijah told him to pour four barrels of water up on his altar, and told him to pour four more, and told him to go and pour four more, and he told him go and pour four more. That equals 12 barrels of water that he poured up on the altar. But praise God, I'm telling you, when God sends a fire down, and he lapped up the fire. They said then, he said, let that be God. And, you know, God still today, he's still God, my friend. He's still doing the things. As Brother John was saying a while ago, when God tells us to do something, we need to do it. I know this preaching of this word, it's foolish to this world. It's foolish to the people because the preaching of thy word is foolish to the world. But praise God, I'm glad that the power of God is the power of God to salvation. It's the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the cross. I'm not ashamed of the preaching of thy word because this word, praise God, will be, it will be God if we will only take it. These words that I speak, they're not mine, but they're my Father who sent me. Praise God. God's one that called us. He's the one that has sent us out to preach the word. And to my friend tonight, don't matter what country you're in, this word that you hear, it's not our words, but it's our Father who sent us. And the Bible teaches us, how can they hear except by a preacher? How can they believe in whom they've never heard? My friend, but I'm here tonight to tell you that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, he has power tonight to heal. He has power tonight to forgive you of your sins. He has power tonight to deliver you, hallelujah, just like he did over there in Egypt. He had power, my friend, to deliver them. He ain't never lost none of his power because he says it's over there. Praise God, in Hebrews 12:8, I believe it is, or 13:8 maybe. It said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he don't never change. Praise God. If he forgive them of their sins back then, he's still forgiven today. I thank God that I see God forgiving people. Just about every service in our church, God is wiping out sin. And I thank God he's still doing it around the world. I believe tonight because of this broadcast, there's people being touched. I believe that there's people being delivered. I believe that there's people tonight, if their faith, if they've got their faith up there, as a sister was talking about a while ago, about having a faith as a grain of mustard seed. If you got that much of faith, if God speaks to you, tell you to take up your bed and walk, my friend, don't lay there. Jump up. Take your bed and walk. That just brings me back to a remembrance. One time here a few years, a couple years back, we were up here in a church. A woman, she's gone on now to be with the Lord, but she had had a stroke, and she pushed, her husband pushed her in the church in the wheelchair, and I walked in with her. Me and my wife, Betty, I walked in there, and a bunch of other people, and we began to pray for her, and praise God, the Holy Ghost come down. It slayed that sister. She fell in the floor just like the Holy Ghost had knocked her out, just like you'd knock her out with a sledgehammer. But praise God, she rose up on her own 2 feet out of that floor. Nobody didn't help her. Nobody didn't touch her. She got up, and she walked out of that church, pushing a wheelchair herself. her husband didn't have to push it out. And praise God, I'm telling you tonight, God is still God. If he speaks to you, to take up your bed and walk, my friend, take up your bed. Don't sit there. The devil would like for you to sit there. He would like for you to stay right there because he don't want God's word. He don't want God's power to be demonstrated and to be showed. But I'm here to tell you tonight, God is still showing his power out across this land and across this world to them that will receive what thus saith God. I'm so thankful tonight. I praise God that God is still God. I'm so thankful tonight that God is still calling people out. Hallelujah. Let's look into the Exodus 4 and verse 3. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, Moses obeyed God there. Moses heard God's voice, and he cast it down. Hallelujah. He threw it down on the ground, and it became serpent. But praise God, then God told him to put forth his hand, and he put forth his hand, and he told him to take it by the tail, and he done that, and it turned back into a rod. Praise God, God demonstrated a miracle right there before the people's eyes. He's still doing the same thing today. He's still causing miracles, hallelujah, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, have appeared unto thee. Hallelujah. You know, praise God. I'm glad that, oh, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, glory to God. I'm glad tonight, praise God, that he appeared there. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob's God appeared to thee again tonight. And I'm glad tonight, praise God, he's still appearing to people. He's still making himself known. He's still being God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's look into John, of the 11th chapter and verse 15. And I am glad for your sake that I was not there to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, yet, let us go unto him. You know, praise God. That's what God's word is telling us here. Let's look into Mark, the 16th chapter, and start in verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You know, that's a great miracle right there of God. I tell you what. Now, God's not talking about going out here and grabbing up a snake, a serpent like that. He's talking about casting out devils. My friend, tonight, whenever we meet up with someone that is devil-possessed, and we start casting the devils out, that's the kind of serpent that he's talking about. And I tell you what, he goes on, and he said the believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He didn't say that it had to be some big-time preacher, or it had to be some special person, but he said the believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Tonight, if you're a believer, and you're saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, and you're a believer, you ought to be able to lay hands on the sick, and they ought to recover, and they ought
Amen.
To make signs and wonders following the believers. I'm so glad tonight. I praise God that I am a servant of the living God. I am a servant one. I praise God that has all power in heaven and earth tonight. Hallelujah. He has power tonight to forgive sin. He has power tonight to tell us to take up thy bed and walk. Let's look into Hebrews 2 and verse 3 and verse 4. Now, let's see, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Hallelujah. You know, praise God. Now, I tell you, how can we fail to accept great salvation. Praise God, I'm tell you, it's time tonight of this world start listening and start heeding to the Word of God. It's time tonight that they start receiving like I believe Brother John brought out part of it there a while ago about over there where Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again of the Spirit and of the water. My friend, except they heed to them words and be born again. And like up there in the 16th chapter of Mark, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But if he believe not, he shall be damned. I tell you, that gives us a choice right there. How we can accept the Word of God. How we can believe what thus says God. Or we can believe what we want to believe and believe the words of Satan and die and go to a devil's hell. But we can repent and we can serve the living God. God is a God. Tonight it's not his will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. It's his will tonight, my friend, that you repent of your sins and call upon him and say, let him be God. Hallelujah. I tell you
Amen.
What, except we let God be God, we're going to be in trouble in the day of judgment. I praise God. Let's look into verse 4 in Hebrews 2. God also brought them, God also buried them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and great and the gift of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. You know, Praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you, I'm thankful tonight. Praise God. What God is doing, what God is saying, and what God is trying to get us to heed to it. You know, praise God, which one? Verse 4 again. God also buried, wait a minute, I'm not saying that word right. I'm going to let Betty read it there. Praise God.
God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Just go ahead and read some more.
John 2, verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. John 20, verse 20 through 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. John 7:31. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will we do more miracles than these which this man hath done? Acts 8:6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, and appreciate the word. And I'll just go ahead and turn it back to you there, Sister Green. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. We appreciate you all, and thank God for you. And I tell you, I enjoy each and every one of you coming on here tonight, and thank the Lord that you took your time out and came on with us and to share God's word and to give it out, that someone might hear this and destroy yokes of bondage that are around people's lives. And you know, I thank God, you know, Brother Yearwood, you all and you anoint it, and it's the anointing that destroys that yoke. Praise God. And
amen.
And you know, the gift of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues, and I love to hear Brother Yearwood get on here and obey God, and Sister Gladys when she obeys the Lord, and Brother John when you get on here and obey God, and you know, it destroys yokes and bondage that's in people's lives, and I just thank God, you know, for the miracle working God, and that's what this broadcast is about tonight, is a miracle of God. Hallelujah. And how it was a miracle that he has saved me one day. And I used to say that the church would surely fall down if I walked through the doors of the church, and many of you might have said that. And you know, the church is still standing today, praise God. And you know, it's just a waiting for you, and the doors are wide open and ready to receive you. Hallelujah. You just walk through them doors, and you kneel down right where you're at, and you pray, and the miracle working God, let him be a miracle in your life. Praise the Lord. Let him show you that he is real. Praise God. Like Pastor John was preaching, when they came to him and said that the water pots are empty, and Mary says, go ask Jesus and do what he says. We're to do what Jesus says, praise God, what his word says. I remember reading on the Mount of Transfiguration, and the Lord spoke, the Father from heaven spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Praise God, we need to hear ye him, the words of Jesus. Praise God, he said that my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Praise God. God is so good. And you know, I want to talk to you just a minute here, and we'll turn it over to Brother Green. And if I could get this going up here. I was thinking about how in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 starts, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And Luke 1, verses 26 says, And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou hast conceived in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and in his kingdom there shall be no more, and in his kingdom thou shalt be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah. Praise the Lord. And I wanted to bring out right there that what a miracle. What a miracle right there. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and she conceived a son. Praise the Lord. And you know, I know this is probably controversial a little bit, and I don't mean to go against anybody's teachings or however. I don't know how a lot of people think or how they believe, but this here is the only miracle that the Holy Ghost had overshadowed a woman, and she conceived. Now, the first Adam, praise God, was created from the dust of the earth, and the last Adam was overshadowed a human being, and a seed, a baby, was planted in the womb of Mary. Never time before Amen. Has any angels or any being has conceived. Angels cannot reproduce. The Lord, when he created man, he said, replenish the earth. Praise God. But this is a miracle that God had given his only begotten son to Mary, because she found favor with God. And I know that there's a teaching out there, and I believe it's, praise the Lord, we find it here in just a second. Genesis chapter 6 talks about the sons of God had that had came down, and they were with the daughters of men. And you know, when Abraham was seeking a wife for Isaac, his son, he had to go to his father's house. It was forbidden for the children of God to mix with the world, the ones that had pagan gods. So the daughters of men were them of the false gods, of all the other god, just simple as that, false gods. But the sons of God were them that began to call upon God at Seth and Enos and Abraham and so forth. And the Bible talks about before the flood, before Noah's time, right around in that time. Let me just read it here. Genesis 6, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, that doesn't mean that the sons of God came down and mixed with the when they came down, they may have came down from a mountain, and they mixed with the daughters in the valley of men. And in those days, there were giants. Didn't mean that when they got together that they brought forth giants, because after the flood, a lot of people think that God brought on the flood because of the giants, but here's the reason that God brought on the flood. In the chapter 6 of Genesis, the 5th verse says, And God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's why God repented, that he even made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So then the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them, because of the wickedness of their heart, because they weren't supposed to mingle with the daughters of men that were serving the ungodly gods. The sons of God were only supposed to stay in their own in the house. Abraham found a wife for Isaac in the father's house. Praise the Lord. So then he called on Noah in those days, because Noah was one of them, found favor with God. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah did. Praise God. So I just wanted to bring that out, that the wonderful miracle of Jesus being conceived with the Virgin Mary was a miracle. And angels, fallen angels, cannot conceive. They cannot reproduce. Praise the Lord. And I just wanted to bring that out, and I'm going to give the rest of the time to Brother Green, and I just love and appreciate you all. And before he, Pastor John, do you have a prayer request?
We have a Sister Mary in our church, and she's had bronchitis, and she's been having it for a while, so just remember her. And there's a Brian Hobbs that had surgery with kidney stones. They had put stents in, and he's had a problem with the old blood and the urine that had not emptied itself out. So just remember him in prayer. And also just continue to remember our church and broadcast the listeners. And we just appreciate what the Lord's doing.
Amen. Praise God. And Sister Gladys, I know you put some on the Facebook, but would you have any other sis that you want us to pray about?
I do, yes, Sister Green. I do have a prayer request. It's an unspoken request of a lady in our church. The enemy physically attacked. Seems like since the end of last year and the beginning of this year, there's been several attacks physically on people. The God's taking care of all of that. But I remember one individual lady. I don't want to mention her name because people listening in. Sometimes our enemies listen in. And we don't want to give the enemy any glory anyhow, but God's going to expose what's going on and heal this young lady. But I just know and believe God's going to work on that and work on the situation that Tim and I are going through and move on that because it needs to be moved on and it needs to do with finances.
Amen. And I've got a few more here that's come up on Facebook. Lynette Shear says prayers for herself and her mom. Greg Colvin says he has two urgent unspoken requests. And Donna Trustee, she says, I really need prayers. So we'll remember them, and we're going to turn it over to Brother Green, and in the last few minutes, we'll, yes.
We got another prayer request right here. It's a little baby that was born last Sunday. It's a McDaniel baby. It's got a heart murmur, and its heart, they said, that was only beating like 58 beats a minute. So it needs a miracle from God.
Amen.
About that, Brother Year, would you?
Yes, amen. Let's pray now. Praise God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, we ask, Lord, you see these requests, dear Lord, this little baby, dear God.
All these other requests, Lord, just touch a little share, God. Lord, just move them.
Thank you, God, for moving. All these prayer requests.
Lord, and give them a miracle.
Lord,
speak healing over right now. Lord, we speak the word of faith, God. They're going to take them, God, and take them and raise them up.
Worker, that Jesus is a miracle man, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's no respecter of person. The Bible said he went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed to the devil, for God was with him.
Amen.
There in Acts chapter 10, praise God, he's never changed. He's on the right hand of the Father tonight, and he's making intercession for us according to the will of God. And if we can get our faith in line with the Word of God, we can find a relief for our problems. We can find that God will come on the scene. And if we'll get our heart to intend with God, and we'll set our face toward the Lord, and we'll take up the cross and follow Christ, and we'll put our hand to the plow, not look back, but we'll continue to fight the good fight and stand in the gap. I believe that God will move for us. Praise the Lord. He's moving for his people. And The Bible said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that there would be deliverance in Zion. And I thank God tonight that the church is Zion. It is Zion, and it's the mountain of God, the church is. I was thinking, you know, Brother Yearwood was talking and preaching on Moses. You know, Moses went up into the mountain, and he got a hold of God, and he found God on the side of that mountain. He came to that burning bush, and God spoke to Moses and said, "Go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go." And I tell you, the devil's going to have to back off if we'll get in tune with God, if we'll get on the mountain of God and get into the high places of God, if we'll climb up that mountain and we'll get in tune with God. I believe we can have fellowship with God, and we can see that God will move for us, that God will move for our loved ones, and God will have mercy on his people. I praise God tonight that I'm saved by grace through faith, that my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I have access to the throne of God, that I can pray prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up, and if they have committed sins, they shall be forgiven them. He said, call for the elders of the church, and let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. I tell you tonight, if you got problems, find yourself a church that believes in God. Find you a church that believes in miracles. God is a miracle worker. Praise God. I want to read something to you here. It says, the laws of nature. The laws of nature are really the laws that God put in this world for it to work properly. The laws never change under normal circumstances. This is called uniform order. In other words, God put these laws, they call them the laws of nature, but God actually put these laws into effect. He put many laws that we have found out and scientists have discovered. And, you know, you think about different laws of different things, and there's the law of gravity. We have to have that to be able to stay on planet Earth, and for everything to work properly, we have to have those laws. We know that water freezes at 32 degrees Fahrenheit, and we know that it boils, I think, at 212 degrees. And, you know, these laws never change, but these are laws that God put in effect so that we could live in a natural world. And we could expect things to be constant. We don't expect to have to boil water till it gets to 400 degrees before it boils. But we can know that when we reach 200, and I believe it's 12 degrees, it's going to boil. And it happens every time. And it's the same way when it freezes. 32 degrees, water is going to freeze. And different things is set in order. We know the sun comes up every day, and it goes down, and it makes its circle, and all these things God has put in nature, and he's put the laws there. And then we're talking about miracles. The definition, one definition of miracles is a supernatural occurrence or act, wonder or marvel. Supernatural manifestations of divine power in the world. And miracles are also called wonders, and we find that in the Word of God. And I want to start tonight. I want to start tonight here in Acts chapter 2, and Brother John touched on this. I think Brother Yearwood touched on it also. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came in the upper room, and it fell upon them, and they all spake with tongues, and they spoke with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And when it was noised abroad, the multitude came together and was confounded, because they heard every man speaking in his own language wherein he was born, and it names them there, the different ones. And this was a great promise. It was the promise of the Father that he would send the Comforter, that Jesus said, "I'm going away, but I'm sending you another Comforter." And John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, and the Spirit of God, as a form of a dove, came upon him, And a voice spoke from heaven, said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And God was well pleased with Jesus and the life that he lived. And he had sent him down. Joanna spoke about it earlier, how that the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. And that holy thing which would be born of her shall be called the Son of God. And you know, when she was talking about that tonight, I felt the Spirit of God. I thought, that's the miracle working power of God. And that's the greatest miracle that God's ever done, I do believe. It's when he sent Christ into this world. And that was the greatest miracle, I believe. And Jesus grew up, and one day he came to the River Jordan, and they baptized him in that river. And John said, "I indeed baptize you with water, but there's coming one after me mightier than I, and he, I'm not worthy to unloose his shoes," he said, "but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And I tell you tonight, Jesus is the baptizer. He went back to the Father after that. He was crucified there on the cross. He came into his own, and his own received him not, but they crucified him and put him on that cross. They platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they smote him with the reed, and they spit upon him, and they plucked his beard, and they whipped him up the hill. I believe they did. Probably whipped him up the hill. The Bible don't say they did, but they sang a song that they whipped him up the hill. And, you know, they probably did. They took him to the whipping post, and they whipped him and laid stripes upon him. And those stripes was for the healing of our bodies. It was for the healing of our spirit and of our mind and everything that we have. In this body, God made preparation for. He didn't leave nothing out. He didn't leave anything out. He gave us a sound mind and a right spirit. And he took out the stony heart, and he gave us a heart of flesh. And he put a song in our heart unto the Lord. And I thank God when I went down to the foot of the cross one day, and I knelt there at the house of God, and I called upon the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation. You know, the Lord heard me, and he'll hear you, my friend. If you'll find you an altar somewhere, you'll begin to call upon the Lord. I'll tell you that the Lord will hear you. You know, Moses was on the backside of that desert, and he was watching Jethro's sheep and goats or whatever he had there. And he was back there. He thought he was hid from God, I guess. He thought maybe nobody knowed where he was at. But he was out there in the land of Midian, and he was working for him. A Midianite priest, but he never left off believing in God. He never left off believing that he was the Hebrew, and that he had grown up in Pharaoh's house, and he had to escape because he had killed that Egyptian. And he went there and found Jethro, and there he married his daughter, and there he stayed in the strange land, and had two sons and called one Gershom, the first one, because he said, "I'm a stranger in a strange land." You know, he was a stranger in Egypt, and he was also a stranger in the land of Midian. That wasn't his land. That wasn't his property. That wasn't what God gave him. But one day God sent Moses back to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." Now, I tell you, the devil's going to have to let some people go if we get down to business with God. And I'll tell you, the devil is trying to be Pharaoh today. He's trying to Pharaoh over God's people, and he's making hard bondage, and he's making them serve with vigor, and he's with rigor, the Bible said. And he made them make bricks and things and build cities. And you know, God don't want you to be a slave to the devil, I'll tell you. And he sent Moses back, and he said, "Let my people go." One place there he said, "Let my son go. Israel is my firstborn son." And he said, "Let him go that he may serve me." And God wants you to serve him. God don't want you to be a slave to the devil anymore. God don't want you to be bound by alcohol and drugs and these kind of things, because God is a miracle worker, because God has never lost his power. He can break that stronghold that the devil's got in your life. He can destroy him. Those chains that have you bound, and those addictions that keep you going back to the same place and doing the same things over and over and over, God can break that addiction off of your life. If you'll get down at the foot of the cross and call on Jesus Now I tell you, if you'll seek him with all your heart and turn from all your wicked ways and seek the Lord and call upon his name in sincerity and truth, then the Lord will answer you. And praise God. You know, Pharaoh wouldn't let him go. He said, I don't know your God. I'm not letting him go. And, you know, he had to one day, though, he had to let him go. You know, the plague started coming his way because he hardened his heart. And I don't want you to harden your heart against God tonight. If you've hardened your heart, I'm pleading with you tonight. Get down to business. Get you a prayer closet. Go in your bedroom and make you an altar. And get down and kneel before God and call upon him and say, forgive me, Lord, of all of my sins. Cleanse me from all of my unrighteousness and purge me from all of my iniquity. And make a new creature out of me, Lord, and turn me from my sin and turn me to the righteousness of God. And oh, God, help us tonight that we'll get on fire for God, that we can go and do the wonders and the miracles that God said we could do. He said, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall receive power, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And he said, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world, he said, you would be a witness. You know, Jesus came to him in Matthew 28, and in verse 18, he came to him, and he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And this was after he had went back to the Father, after he was crucified on the cross, and after he had been in the grave 3 days, and on that third day he rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He was victorious over everything, praise God. And all power was given unto him. He went back to the right hand of the Father, and he sent forth this that Peter said, you now see and hear, which is the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, the promises to you and to your children and all that are far off, Peter said there in Acts chapter 2. He said, the promises to you, and I'm telling you tonight, the promise is still good to you. It's good to me. It's good to my children. It'll be good to my children's children as long as time goes on and Christ does not come back. But he's coming one of these days, and we'd better be ready to go. We'd better be ready because one day the door of mercy will close and they'll begin to knock on that door and he'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. And time is running out and time is marching on. And I tell you, God's a miracle worker tonight. And I tell you tonight, you Amen. Can find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found it in the day when everybody was turning from God, when everybody was running to their idols and their magicians and all the things that they was turning to. And they was seeking them wives of all they chose. And the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And I tell you, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, he said, it's also going to be that way in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. He said, they built and they planted and they married and it was given in marriage. They're going to be that way until the Lord comes. And they did that in the day of the ark until the flood came and took them all away. And I'm telling you tonight, find you a place to pray. Find you a place where you can get in touch with God. Turn your television off and turn off that stuff that's condemning your soul and damning your soul. I tell you, the church don't need horror movies and things like that. I tell you, there is such a thing as being demon-possessed, and these people being demon-possessed because they're opening doors to the devil. Now I want you to know tonight Jesus is coming back, and I want you to be ready, and I want you to go to heaven with me. I want to stroll over heaven with you some sweet day. Praise God, I want to see you in the rapture. And I know there's a rapture coming, my friend. I know Christ is coming again, and I know the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and caught up to be with meet the Lord in the air. And Jesus said in Matthew 28 and 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm telling you, the Lord has still got control. If we'll let him have it, he's still in control tonight. He still will help you on your journey of life. And he said he promised us long life if we would obey God, if we would obey our parents, if we would obey especially the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go, for God has met with us. And you know, Pharaoh said, I won't let him go. But I tell you what, one day it got so bad in Egypt that Pharaoh said, I've had enough. I'm going to let you go. Praise God. It's good to be with you tonight. God bless you all.
Until next time, we'll see you next Friday night. Remember, Brother Yearwood's broadcast on Tuesdays, Reaching the World for Christ Around the World. blogtalkradio.com/reachingtheworldforchrist. Praise God at 6 o'clock on Tuesdays. Good night, y'all.
Good night.
God bless.
Good night.
God bless.
Good night. God bless.
Good night, y'all.